This is Eternal Public Health Chats with your host, Fiona. And today I am so excited to be back in Rwanda. I mean, I'm based in Rwanda, but back in Rwanda in terms of our guest. So we have a guest who's here from who's from Rwanda. Her name is Celine Mugeni. I hope I'm saying that right. Is it Mugeni
Mujeni, you got
or
it
Mugeni?
right.
Mugeni. I forgot to check before. Yes, so I have Celine Mugeni. And I'll let her introduce herself and then we'll get into the questions. So you can go ahead, Celine.
Thank you, Fiona. So, as you said, my name is Celine Mujeni. Right now, I'm a mother at home, which is also great. But I have experience in public health, 10 years and more. I did my study in, I have a bachelor degree in microbiology and a master degree in community health. And I've been always passionate about public health. And this is even before doing my university degree. During college, I was always attracted by courses like biology, understanding more human being like sciences courses. I thought for some time that I will be a doctor, but it turns that I changed my mind when joining university as I was more interested to know about infectious disease laboratory work. That's how I did microbiology. And after finishing my bachelor degree, there was a program where I studied that started as community health, and it was observation, understanding well the community, the smallest community, like how to design project program that will be tailored to where you're working, the environment where you live. So I was kind of interested to know what it is. So that's why I did my master degree in community health. And I will tell you that was a high opening, like just understanding that there's several factors that you need to take into account when working in an environment, and mainly when you are having to work on project where you tend to serve a community or field or understand the gap, trying to help people. That master's degree gave me really the tools and the tips to take time to observe a community and build a project that will be just tailored to that community and mainly serving any clients that you'll have. It was not like the normal public health program or MPH that you do, because it tend to be a lot of qualitative courses, and that will go from observatory study, like how to do interviews, focus group, but in more in depth than just normal evaluation courses. So after that master degree, I worked, because I did my study in Canada, I worked a few years with the government. And then after, I came back to Rwanda in 2009, where I joined an international NGO. And I think that's the story of, linking to your question about how to, for people who have just started or fresh from school, how to join a program. I will not go directly to that question because that tend to the end, but my experience was one of the one I'm happy to share, because there are many opportunities outside, and I just got one to a fellowship to just start where to just start the work in Rwanda with an international NGO, and that led me to my after my career 10 years with that same NGO working with governments and different communities. So I think being passionate, it helps you just open some doors that you think you won't do because of just trying to discover different routes, different pathways you will want to achieve what your ambition are.
Amazing. Thank you for that. Thank you for the background. That's really helpful. I have a couple of follow-up questions. So the microbiology, you said you opted, you kind of found yourself interested in infectious diseases and things like that. I'm just curious, did you, after the microbiology, before you did your master's, did you work or you went straight from the bachelor's to the master's?
So I went straight from the bachelor to the master and degree, and I will tell you why. I think it was the decision to go to the master degree was when after when you do the bachelor degree in microbiology at last year, you have to do an internship that will to kind of close your study and just get some hands on really what is practical work in microbiology. So I. For my internship, I decided to come to Rwanda and to work with a university here and join the laboratory just to understand how it work here in Rwanda, what is lab work here. And I came back for 3 months, and where I would see a different way of working, where I did work my study. Laboratory is more research work, so you tend to spend a lot of time. You have a specific topic that you have to work on, project, research project that you work on. And then when I came to run the lab work was a lot of testing directly in the field, because you will have a client waiting for a few results, understanding where to go, how the results are, where it should be directed after in the clinical setting. So it was more clinical lab. So it was my first time actually to be on clinical lab and learning the different lab tests, then the follow-up, the entire process from where samples is brought to you when you do the work, and then when result goes back to the patient. And I realized during doing my internship that I was more interested to what happens after the results. So as much as I was doing the test, I was just curious. Once I have a result and I turn it or I send it to the department, or I give it to the client, what happens next? And that was always a question in my head. And then after the internship, that question kept obsessing me. I was like, I want to understand more what happened after. What does patient do with the results? What are the next step until the end of which, if it reached of treatment, or what happened to the community? So it brought it the internship. At the end, I had more questions than when I started it. A different question. So that's why when I finished my report and talked to my supervisor and to different people and say, but I'm really interested to the next steps. I want to understand why the test, what is around the patient. So how can that, I was just not satisfied of being just a test written on a paper and then you hand it over to someone else. So that's why I was guided after talking to different people to the master degree in community health. And that's where I started getting responses to all these questions, understanding actually it will be interesting to learn more about how community health was more outside lab, more environment, more gen, like you take it to a different lens than just laboratory, and looking at the environment, looking at different factors around health. And I realized that that's where my brain was now satisfied and getting some of the response and just like boiling and interested and passionate to learn more. So that's why I went to community health. So I would just say, Fiona, at the end, life can bring you to new adventures. So
Right.
just
No, yeah, it sounds like that internship was like the key point for you, at least in informing your next step, which is very interesting.
exactly.
I have had a similar experience. My background as well, my bachelor's was in biology, and at the time I was wrestling with whether kind of what you talked about. But for me, I think it really took me a long time to kind of decide that I didn't want to pursue medicine. So after the biology training, I worked as a research technician. And then similar for me, it was, I guess I wasn't really driven by like the, for you, I think it sounds like the you were really driven by that need to understand, I guess, the patient or the people who are receiving these clinical results. And that's what took you to community health. Whereas for me, it was just like I did not like working in the lab. It was that simple. I just was like, no, when you were describing, like we're working on a specific project, same thing as well. I did a lot of PCRs. I did a lot, like I was so good at pipetting, like, and even just like the research process, I enjoyed that, but I missed working with people. So that was the thing I then realized this is missing, and I don't know if I can do this like for the rest of my life. And it sounds like in your story, I like the idea that you, when you discovered this during your internship, you reached out to other people. So it sounds like you talked to your supervisor about this, you talked to other people, and then that helped inform kind of like your next step, or at least then they advised you and guided you towards this master's opportunity in community health.
Exactly. And I think one point that you're saying is that it helped me actually choose or select the master degree based on my questioning. I couldn't have answered it myself and say, oh, next step will be a master in, I don't know, administration. I don't know where it would have taken me if I was alone. So one thing I think, you know, you just realize after time that talking to people was helpful for me. Going outside, because it's a different department. Okay, it was under the same, just say, like main medicines and public health department, if you want. But that master degree was more like public health. Microbiology was more in medicine. So it took me to a different place, meeting different people, because I had the chance to talk to my supervisor and say, I like it, but I just have more questions. And he told me, oh, just go and talk to XYZ in person. And then I went and discovered that master degree and say, oh, why not? I think that's where I want to go. So really, you know, one of my advice or something that helped me was talking to people, talking to different people about what I had felt or what was the question I had after my internship.
Yeah, no, that's amazing and a very key lesson. I think it would have definitely helped, like looking back to my early 20s. I mean, I did eventually get there, but I think it probably would have been quicker if I had started out earlier on, you know, like looking back, I'm like, yeah, that's a good point, right? That you like, we shouldn't be doing it on our own, right? And when you sit there and you're trying to figure it on your own, there's so many people out there who could be kind of like at least give sharing their advice, their experience, what they know, and that kind of like broadens like your knowledge base and what you can pick from. You're so right. Crucial lessons, and I think that's part of why we started this podcast, is to kind of have people hear from other people, and that helps inform them. So that's a great point. And then another thing I wanted to ask about the beginning of your journey, Celine, you mentioned at the beginning that you had always, when you were in college, you at least knew about public health and the idea kind of like was interesting and appealing to you. Do you remember, I guess, can you like think back, you know, 10 plus years ago, kind of like what, I guess, how did public health present itself to you at the time? How did you know? Because for me, it's very hard to say when I first knew what was public health. It's hard to say because all I knew was medicine, at least in my experience. So I'm curious to hear from your experience in college and at the time, like how did you learn this field even existed for you to have interest in it?
So to be honest, Fiona, I learned about it after college, at university. So it was medicine during college, because I was passionate about biology, and I was passionate. I liked my courses in biology, and specifically when they was talking about human beings. I love also physics and chemistry, but my I tend to just enjoy biology, being environment, being when we were talking about anatomy, human anatomy, and also. And after college, my head was like, I'll go to medicine and I'll do medicine school. And for some reason, I did apply to several universities, but I ended up to move to Canada. And there, joining medicine for foreigners was difficult because of different grades and tests that you do. It's just different by countries. You know, admission depends on a country. And I decided to start and do microbiology because when I looked at the program and how it looked like, and I said, oh, why not? Because I want to know more about infectious diseases, not on the side of medicine when you treat people, but also on, you know, how the virus, bacteria, viruses and all works, how did it tend and started to be a disease or contaminate people. So it was also a field that I wanted to discover. So I said, okay, I'll go to microbiology. And after my bachelor degree, I'll be able to go to med school. That was my first idea. So I started my and really enjoyed it. And came in that internship. It's just telling you, Fiona, that for different, you know, med school was not possible at the time I wanted to do. So I went to microbiology because I liked it. And then came in that internship. And that internship that opened my eye and say, there's another field, there's something else. That's where I started learning about, really put a name on what is public health.
Right.
And when I first heard about public health, for me, in my head was like those doctors who are doing epidemiology. And I was like, Oh, so I should do epidemiology and statistics and all. And when I looked at the program on the first sight, it was like, ah, no, that a lot of quantitative
You're
work
like,
stats
no.
and all. Do I like it or not? And I hesitated. But that helps me to people. Then I discovered that actually there's another program called community health, which is more qualitative, observatory. When you talk to people, when you learn how to, it was all around determinants of health, like climate, environment, culture, how all this impact on health of on the health of a person and of a community. And I was like, hey, this is more what I want to do. I want to explore. I want to take time to understand. I don't want to spend time into statistics and evaluation methods and all. But it was a mix of qualitative work and quantitative because you need statistics anyway to, you need data, you need analytics. And that's why now I started understanding that actually public health is not only epidemiology, it's actually an entire world. But I will tell you, Fiona, I don't know if you had the same feeling, is that it was that idea at some point that public health equals epidemiology, equals some quantitative work at a specific point of time. I think it's my time. I remember when I started my master's degree, we were not even 10 people. And we had to explain to people what is community health. Many people did not understand what it was. And they were like, oh, it's just researchers doing literature review, a lot of qualitative work. And it was different. So I think it's with time and how societies evolved and how challenges also evolved and how the health perception of what is health evolved. Public health, I think for me, what I think became a lot more than just epidemiology and evaluation method. It's I think it raises the importance of now understanding how a community works, taking time to also give some importance to some of the qualitative aspects of it, and understanding that health sector is not only clinical data analysis, and it's more than that. And I realized when doing my study, as I told you, when I started, people were like, what is community health? What is it? What do you do exactly? What practically do you do? And you had to explain what it is. And I will tell you, when I came back in around after my study in Canada in 2009, my first project I worked on was with community health workers. And that was in 2009. And I remember it was a community of workers project or initiative just started in Rwanda, but I know there was other initiative that took place in West Africa. But it was new. What is a community of worker? What should they do? Like, because there was some areas that was specific and restrained to clinical people like nurses and doctors, and they started discovering that actually there are practice, there are acts that could be done by other people who have been trained, because these people are closer to your clients. They know how they think, they know what they do, they know the culture, so they'll be able to find the right words to talk to them, to bring them to healthcare, because that was the goal at that time, how to make sure we reach out to the patient, we reach out to the mothers who have young kids, for example, for immunization. That's how we can reach out to, we can also talk about prevention or promotion of health to people who are remote or who are far from getting the right information, for example, of healthcare services. And that's where public health, in my mind, also become a little bit more larger and say, okay, it's the understanding of the health. Of health with different aspects and understanding that it's actually intersectorial. It's actually bigger. It's something that will need to be put importance on. So I would tell you it was with time, with experience, with talking to people, with work that the notion of public health started to become a little bit more understandable.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I love how you even got to answer one of my questions. Because I was going to ask you, what does public health mean to you? But you've already answered that, which is amazing because you kind of like you journeyed through the answer in how you spoke and also in your actual life experiences. But
Yes.
yeah, that's all very important things that you highlighted, especially the key piece around even within the field of public health for ourselves, right? That it's there's health, right, in general, and what you're talking about, like, where I think for a lot of people, our first introduction to health is the clinical side, right? We encounter doctors, we encounter nurses, and that's kind of, and that happens then in our career journeys, is that when the moment you're interested in the biology, in the science of it, that's usually the first thing that is presented to you, right? The medicine, the nursing, pharmacy. And you're right that it sounds like in your journey, you kind of like went from that to the microbiology, to the lab work, to the clinical lab work, and then being exposed to the patients, and then wanting to understand kind of like their context. And I just wanted to highlight on that piece alone that you reminded me of an earlier episode we recorded with someone from Rwanda as well, interestingly, Sandra. And she had a pharmacy background, but she also, from her experience out of the pharmacy degree and working in the community pharmacy, was when she also then encountered kind of like the community aspects that were bringing the patients to seek the medication. And that's what then catapulted her into the career in public health. So it's really interesting that you can start at one point, at least that's my takeaway for now, is that you can start at one point, but your career will kind of like blossom and grow into the things that you see and the things that you are drawn to.
Yeah,
Right. And for
exactly.
you, that was the community aspect.
Yes. And it's even talking to you right now, I'm just thinking about it, and it really helps because I'm like, wow, I came from med school to community health, and then all the different programs I remember working on. So yes, it also feels good to just take time and think about it.
And reflect, right? Yeah. So maybe while you're still in the reflective mood, I actually wanted to hear a little bit. I'm also just genuinely curious, but I think the audience would also benefit to hear. You mentioned like starting community health work, sounds like programs in Rwanda in 2009. Can you maybe share a little bit of what that you, I think you've talked about a little bit. You mentioned that community healthcare workers are more patient facing. And I know this, but I think it would be great if you could maybe talk to the audience and tell us a little bit of what that work looked like at the time and what were you doing in the context of like Rwanda and like community health care work.
Yeah, so thank you. So I think what I was doing in 2009 and my specific work was the Community of Workers program had started in Rwanda, and I think it shows results, but at the same time, Community of Workers was voluntary work. So there were people who were known and recognized in a specific community and train and being used to promote health and making sure healthcare services are known by the population, by everyone, and also certain acts could be done earlier. For example, if a child is sick, they will be able to take the temperature to see some of the symptoms and suspect whether it's towards one or two other disease, or just talk to be able to talk to the parents and say the kid needs to go to the hospital and give all the different information that the parents needs to know. And there was one question at that time when I joined was about it's good to do voluntary work, but there's also compensation. You know, they spend time working, so how can they be rewarded? So there was a question about, oh, why not putting them together into cooperative so they could do some businesses while there would be compensation given based on indicators and targets that they would achieve on their healthcare work. So the government was giving them quarterly compensation, but I will not tell you compensation was it was good, it was rewarding, but given to individuals, it could be helpful, but not really for long term, like as a salary, no. So the government thought about putting all the money together and have community of workers work on cooperatives. So when I joined, the program was about helping a group of community of workers form a cooperative. So I will tell you, it's public health, but it was also business indicators that have to come in and see with the time they have. Not only spending to have to care to health care, they could be able to think about a business that could also generate more revenue or incentives. So that was my work. So being able to work with the government and community of workers and think through how this can be possible and put in place and implemented. So I did work on 2 years on it. So supporting community of workers, putting in place business plan, looking for different partners of experts that could help them see based on where the region where they are, what are possible businesses they could do so they could invest that incentive that they're getting from the government to generate more revenue that will help them increase, if you want, the compensation aspects. So it was interesting work. And that's where I realized that you cannot separate health and economic aspects and of the individuals who need to live and who need to have also take care of families or, you know. And so it was an eye-opener because I had to work with business experts who could help the community of workers put in place the cooperative, select the right business to do, and making sure this is implemented in a way that does not become a burden or does not compete with the healthcare work that they have to do and time they spent with the community. So it was interesting. Some of them start a business of producing eggs, other potatoes, because based on the region that they were, agriculture was the most, for example, interesting work or the most feasible work because it was just a region that will help for that. And it was also quite of an interesting initiative, and I think it worked. I worked on it for 2 years, and then after the government was able to see some results. And as on all businesses, some of them were successful. Some others needed to be rethink or rethought with experts to see how they could go. But it was really helpful. We could see some community health workers being happy because, you know, with money, with revenue generated, they were able to pay the community-based health insurance for the entire family or for the entire member of a cooperative, you know. And that was already a victory. That you could see a quarterly incentive turning into members being able all to be insured, have an insurance with their families, or for example, I don't know, that was helping them bring their children to school. So yeah, that was my work for 2 years. So you see that public health also opened some other doors outside health businesses.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Yeah, the intersectoral piece that you mentioned earlier, right? That. And even you also mentioned earlier the determinants of health and that, like, you know, these are people, right? I think someone was mentioning that, right? When you treat a disease, you're also treating the person as a whole, and that even for the healthcare workers, in this case, community healthcare workers, they also need to think about their sustenance and their upkeep. So it's great that the government here was able to kind of like think of ways to kind of compensate and empower, it sounds like, these community healthcare workers, which is amazing. And I know the field of community health has kind of like, not exploded, but it's like grown into this big thing. I think different countries have different models of how they classify community healthcare workers, how compensation is thought of. But I think in general, I do love this idea of like meeting people in general where they are and not necessarily waiting for them to make it to the hospital or to the clinic.
Exactly.
Which is about community health. So it's really cool to hear how Rhonda did it. Yeah, so then maybe we've heard kind of like your background, we've heard kind of like the decision points that led into the different trainings you had and what the work looked like coming out of school, like the first project you did. Can you maybe tell us one more thing? I guess of all the work you've done, you've mentioned having 10 plus years experience now. Which I think is amazing. And can you maybe tell us of those years of experience? And I think it's amazing. You also, I think in our last episode with Dr. Kenchi, we talked about work-life balance. So I also mentioned at the beginning that right now you're not currently working, but you are, you know, focusing on being a mother and a wife, which I think is great. We can maybe towards the end, we can talk a little bit about that. But I wanted to hear on these 10 plus years of experience that you have, can you maybe share maybe a favorite project or a favorite outcome or a favorite output of some of the work that you did? Or maybe just like one project that you really enjoyed working on and what it looked like for you?
Yeah, so I think I have two projects in mind. One was healthcare workforce. Even it was a new program coming in with the NGO I was working with. And it was interesting just the concept of, because, you know, we're still talking about it now, and mainly with COVID as well,
Mm-hmm.
about brain drain from Africa countries of doctors, specialists, experts, not only in health sector, in general, going to Western countries, or right after studies, or being sent to Western country for study, and when they come back, sometimes the education model is very different, and there needs to be an adjustment into what is actually the environment here. So there were some challenges about training more and more, having more doctors, specialists train, and at the same time in a context and environment that they understand and they'll be working on for a long time. And also with scarcity of resources. So what was the best way to train doctors in the same environment that will also avoid the country spend a lot of resources into sending doctors outside. Beyond that, there was also the question of having a lot of patients also traveling and seeking care abroad. Why? It would also be a burden for the family and the community where they come from. So there was all these questions about how can we increase health workforce in certain countries with the resources that is available, thinking of reducing the burden that it is on a community to send people abroad, or also to the different challenges that it takes for specialists when trained outside and adjustment when they come back to the country. And the program started with the idea of bringing actually specialists from other countries to Rwanda, so they'll be able to train doctors, nurses, or different type of health care health workforce that are needed in the country, and train them in their hospital, in the environment, so they could learn quickly, and they will have actually those experts reflect with them about challenges that exist in the country. So I had the chance to be part of the team that initiated the program with the government. And I will tell you, it was an interesting way of thinking of shaping a program to be just the opposite of what it used to be and the normality used to be of sending people outside and have them come back. And that's where this program was quite innovative. And it was interesting because, we talked about intersectoriality, and that was a real one. Because we had to bring the education sector, you have to bring the medical sector, and all these people need to sit together and think through a new program. And that's why I realized that actually, when you bring new ideas, you also have to walk through with people because you face some resistance to what it used to be, what the normality used to be. So the entire shaping process of this program was really interesting for me. Because we have to have different people from different sectors coming in with their own challenges, with their own interests and their own mindset coming in together and say, we need to work together. To have specialists coming from outside, sit in Rwanda, teach in the schools and practice and do medical training or train nurses in hospitals here. And not only tertiary hospitals, but they will also go into the district hospital to another level, meet patient, treat and train doctors. It was a challenging program, but in a positive way, Fiona, because it takes people to sit together, think through what they want the health sector to be in the future. What are the priority in terms of healthcare workers that need to be trained? And it was also an eye-opener. When you have someone else from another country coming and observing and sharing ideas and opinions, it brings new ideas because they're coming with a different back. They're coming with new eyes into your program. So discussions started, how to shape the program, and day by day, how we were working on and supporting the government and working with schools and working with hospitals, it brought actually new ideas, new ways of solving some of the issues, new learnings also because we had different people coming from different sectors and giving opinions. So I know I'm most talking about the initiation of the program, the management of the program, but I just realized that that's where everything starts. When managing a program, when different actors have time to sit and think and build and take time throughout the program to see how it's going, it's just bringing, how can I say? It just bring in the conversation a lot of ideas that can be a new ideas, a new ways of thinking, a new ways of implementing program that will be can be interesting for a country like Rwanda and the resources we had. So it's a program that I'm happy still continues in a different way. But I think the idea of bringing specialists from outside in Rwanda really helps Rwanda build a strong health sector that is built based on the need of the countries, of the country and the resources that are there. So what are the challenges? What are the issues? What are the healthcare workers that are needed at a specific time? What is the training? It's also give time to hospitals to see what are the needs, how can they build a plan in 5, 10 years plan to see, okay, this is where we want to go. Even the different administrative level of hospitals where you have tertiary care, you have district and health centers. It also, I'm sure, impact on the way they're thinking what services will be offered to the different to patients and the referral processes. So this program was at the end was more than just bringing specialists and trained doctors. It was actually helpful in rethinking about how do we want healthcare services being offered to patients and what are the needs, what are the challenges, what's the plan in terms of training patients. And believe me, from just when we started of looking for more surgeons, pediatricians, I think today we're talking about more specialties like gastroenterologists, you have more oncologists being trained. So it just shows you how from 2012 when 2023, it helps Rwanda going from more general, typical healthcare workers that are needed, like surgeon, pediatrician, to more and more specialization and specialists that today are being trained. So it just shows how Rwanda now started increasing in terms of services that can be offered to patients. So that was one project. The second one was health financing, and I had the privilege to work with Dr. Kenchi. Health financing was when brought to me, or when I started working in this program, was new to me. I didn't even know before starting what was health. But you know what? With time, we realized that healthcare is not only treating patients. There are resources behind. You start talking about insurance. You start talking about resources that are invested. And we've seen countries and in general, resources allocated to healthcare being less and less. So how can we do with what we have as resources and still invest and get the most out of it? And it was a new area, but it was attractive to me because I also realized it was new to me. And I was like, it's true. Behind every single act, every single service that we try to offer to a patient, there's a cost. Did we think about it? We have less and less resources available. And I said, it's interesting now to go there and see how we can support. And Rwanda was quite an innovator in introducing community-based health insurance to the population. But yet, service acts are being more and more expensive. This is due to economic impact, you know, inflation and all. And how can we now best use the resources that we have and still continue to offer quality services to population? So I'm thinking that question and entering into the area of community-based health insurance. And that's where I tell you, Fiona, always talk to people. We may not know everything. We started the project, started talking to the government as well, see what were the challenges, what was the areas of interest, and health financing came in. It started to come in a lot in our conversation. How can we make sure we can continue to provide services at a cost that could be absorbed by the community-based insurance, also the government, because the resources is very important. And I think with COVID, it became even more and more into the discussion health financing of a lot of countries. And that's where we said, okay, we need more experts in the question to make sure we can provide a support to government, we can respond to the question, we can even reflect with them into what are the needs, how to get effective and efficient allocation of resources. And that's where I met Dr. Keshi. And I will tell you, in my entire career, she's one of the person I really enjoyed working with. Very inspiring and very passionate about the field she's working on. And she came into the team and was the first one actually and helped us and discussed with the government, put in place a team, work with the government into understanding more what are the costs behind different services, what are services or acts that are draining more costs, how can we put in place more effective, efficient procedures in place. And I will tell you, with COVID, I realized how important actually thinking about allocation of resources is. And we saw that. I think COVID opened the eyes of many public health experts and leaders in understanding, huh, we need to think about it more. So I was happy that some countries started it before COVID, but I think we probably should have put health financing more into the discussion table probably earlier. But today I'm happy to see and listening also to Dr. Keshi and seeing how she's being supported in different countries and knowing also how other countries also, and that just topic from different WHO intervention, for example, seeing that now health economics is becoming more and more part of the discussion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's so interesting. Before you mentioned that, I didn't realize you overlapped and worked with Dr. Nkechi. But before you even mentioned that, earlier when you were describing how for Rwanda, it kind of like having to think about how to increase the workforce and how to kind of basically upskill, right, your workforce, it forced the government to kind of like rethink and reframe what services are we providing and at what level. The whole time I was thinking, huh, and how and who's paying for that and how? At the back of my mind, I was thinking, oh, all these things that Celine is mentioning go so well with the things we were talking about with Dr. Nkechi in the previous episode. You're talking about it from the health workforce perspective, and her episode, she really was talking about the same outcomes, the same goals, right? With the same stakeholders in the same context, but from, like you're saying, a health economics and health financing yes. perspective, which I think, right, I think the two combined for me is when I think of, you know, and I think we talked about this a little bit with Dr. Ketch as well, the concept of like universal health coverage, right, and thinking about at a higher level how governments and countries think about the, you know, the basic package of care and services that, you know, people receive in their country, in their region, in their province, etc. So it's really, it's kind of like it all comes together moment. So this is just, I'm like, this is exactly why I do this.
But, you know, it's just telling you how health sector is more than just giving care. It's prevention.
Exactly. It's so much bigger. Like you said, it's intersectoral. It's multi-sectoral, right? Like you mentioned, you know, when you did this work, you had to bring in education, right? Because when you talk about, you know, for example, training a nurse, even training a community healthcare worker, training a doctor, they're going to do that at an institution, at a school, at a university. Mm-hmm. So that means you have to bring in the education stakeholders. You have to bring in, like you say, the finance stakeholders, because we need to fund all of this to train them and also fund the care that people receive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's crazy that all of this gets me very excited. So it just shows how passionate I am about primary healthcare and universal healthcare in general. And it's great to learn that you work with Dr. Nkechi. So it's a very small world.
Very, very small world, I'm telling you. But very interesting. And so I'll show you just how interconnected we need to be.
Exactly. And going back to this idea of like health isn't just the clinical. It isn't, like you mentioned earlier, it isn't just, you know, maybe like, for example, the science or like the epidemiology, which I think a lot of people, that definitely happened for me as well. When I was then like, okay, when I then became introduced to public health, I definitely also only knew about epidemiology and only got to know about the other aspects when I was then doing my master's and learned, you know, like you said, the determinants of health, learning about community health, social determinants of health, all that came
during my training, but beforehand, you wouldn't have realized that there's more to health than the clinical and the science, but also just our
Exactly.
day-to-day living impacts our health and our health outcomes. Yeah, no, so yeah, definitely. I can see why those two things that you brought up are your favorite things. Very exciting. Yeah, so now as we start to slowly wrap up, I think we've already talked about how you would define public health. I think you kind of answered it when you talked about health is more, right? It's more than just public health is more than, you know, the clinical aspect. You brought in the community health and how the community is very important in reaching patients. So I think we talked a little bit about that. So I think before we go into the skills and word to the wise, maybe if you could balance this out a little bit and maybe tell us any key challenges or anything you'd want to highlight in terms of from your work experience. You've talked about your favorite projects or, you know, your first or second career projects. But if you could talk about challenges you've encountered or things that you'd love to see the field of public health, right, do better or be better in.
Challenges that I've encountered. I will tell you in terms of challenges, I think I talked about it a little bit in some of the responses before. The first one was, I would say, is if I think of even for myself, making, you know, realizing that you don't know everything. We need to be honest, you know? Sometimes you start work, you think that you have enough background about, I did this study, I did this project, I did this project. And there's just that new thing that arrived, you know, that was like kind of what happened with health financing or even other program I worked on. And you're like, huh, so you think you know about health, but there's that new aspects, new area that's coming. How am I going to jump in? Because, you know, when you're working with a government or with different clients, they look at you as someone who will help them come with solutions or help them shape a program. And it happens a few times that I sit in my office and I say, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And you have just a blank for 5-10 minutes and you're like, you just don't know how to go to the next step. And I will tell you at that time, that's where it's really important, as I started talking to people and realizing that actually you need find out people who have done this before, new experts, and sometimes it's difficult, but you have to find, because you need that person to feed you with new ideas and say, okay, this is what you're doing in our field. This is how we'll do. This is X, Y, Z. And then that's where you realize that you need to make sure you have a network of people coming from different backgrounds that will nourish you, that will feed you with information to continue being able to support as it should be your clients. So that was the first. And I think even after 10 years of experience, it's still realizing that you don't know everything and that you still need people to feed you information. Because as we go, challenges are there. There will be new areas coming in, new questions that will come in. And I will tell you, having the humility to understand that you still don't know everything. Your experience have given you probably the strength and the capacity to analyze, to observe, to come in with some, have the intuition, the instinct of where a project will go, but you still need people to feed you because there's still big question and questions to come in. So I worked on different programs, as I told you, community health, healthcare workforce, health financing, specifically also infectious disease in one of the diseases. And this has been helpful to me. I would call it as a challenge, but it's also an opportunity to learn. The second one is resistance to change. When you bring innovation and new ideas, we shouldn't be surprised to see people who will be resistant because they've been doing a work in a way it was. This is what I call normality. It was normal to do something like this, but things have changed and probably new ideas are coming in. So resistance to change was another challenging aspect of the work and experience I had, where we need to convince, we need also to be convinced. But I will tell you, that's where analytics becomes important, Fiona. Get your data and your data rights, but analyze them, observe them, play with them, like push them to the end until you see facts help take a decision. Facts help get the way you want to shape a program right. It could also be wrong, but it will teach you something. It will give you a better idea of what is the reality, or for example, what is the cost of a certain service. Sometimes you think that it's an expensive one and realize that actually, as you look at the service, it's actually one aspect of this service that may need to be twisted or switched or made different to make sure costs are allocated to that change or expense decrease or what. So I will tell you, I've realized how analytics is important. Data are important. And knowing how to use them right will definitely help the decision process. So resistance to change was the second one. Another third one is, no, I think these are the main two.
Those are the main two.
And I don't remember the second part of your question. I was so into my response.
No, that was the question was challenges and kind of, I think you've addressed both. I think you talked about, so you say the resistance to change, I think that's what you just mentioned. And you're right that you had brought it up a little bit when you're talking about the health workforce project and bringing in multiple stakeholders, and that when you're proposing, so it's good to hear that it's the resistance is coming with this kind of like new innovation. When you bring new innovation and new ideas to the table, you can kind of anticipate that there will be resistance because people have been, you know, working in a particular way for a while now. And then the first piece, I think it's both about the work and kind of like, as you said, it can also apply to the personal of like, you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And as much as we want to know everything, we don't. And that's okay,
exactly.
I guess, is that, you know, it's okay to not know everything. And I loved how you said it. You said, you know, it's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. And I think it's a good thing to think of gaps in knowledge or places where we need to learn as opportunities for us to step into that and also to collaborate. It sounds like
exactly.
But it's hard. I always like to just push it back a little bit and say it's hard sometimes. Yes, sometimes you do. I think that not knowing everything, I think at least for me personally, I think that's okay. It's the resistance to change that's also very hard. Sometimes, yes, I might not know everything, but I do know one or two things about the one or two things I'm explaining to you now. And I need you as a stakeholder to come to an understanding with me. I think that's always been my challenge in the work. Is
exactly.
We do have the data. And we show
that's
them.
The link with the data. Exactly.
And then, and then you're like, how do we convince you that this is for the greater good, or that this does work, or that this will be good for us? Maybe not right now, but in the you know, as time goes on, the benefits will outweigh you know, this initial discomfort. I think that's really, honestly, especially working in governments and in sectors where things are usually set, right? Things are, bureaucratic processes have been in existence. So to come and tell people that, you know, this degree program that you have had for over 50 years and it worked in this way, we want it to look a slightly different way, is going to take...
Exactly.
It's gonna ruffle some feathers. It's expected, but you're right that it's a challenge, but it's an opportunity. So maybe that's one way to look at it. This always happens with our episodes, Celine. We've had too much fun, and now we're running out of time.
Thank you.
But I think maybe as the last set of questions, can you tell? I think you've already been sliding in like your advice and like your kind of like words of wisdom as we've gone, you know, from you telling us about how you asked questions, or when you had kind of like a hunch or an idea of what you liked or didn't like, you reached out. So I think we've been learning as we've been listening to your story. But maybe as we wrap up, after sharing all of this, can you maybe two things? What skills do you consider, you know, to be very useful that have been very useful to you and that you would recommend to other people? And in that same vein, Could you also just in general give us like your top three advice or tips that you would give, you know, like an 18-year-old version of you who's listening, or like a 22-year-old version of you who's just finished their bachelor's and is trying to figure out what do I do next? What would you advise them when it comes to careers in general, or specifically about careers in public health?
Thank you. So, what skills was mainly helpful to me? It would sound strange to you and some people, but it's not really a skill that we learn at school, I think. I really do also, but it's more of an attitude and a behavior that I will say to people is listening. I don't know why that is what is coming to my mind, but I will explain a little bit. I know we're running out of time. It's listening. As much as we can learn a lot from school about methods, solutions, how it is you build this program, you evaluate like this, you need to listen to your clients, to your colleagues, to be able to best respond to the question. Listening is very key. I will tell you after comes analytics. That's also another part that I'll say it's important. And more now, we have a lot of data, Fiona, a lot of them available. I'm not saying only in Rwanda, the country where it works, but I think in many countries, collecting data, reporting data is becoming more and more an habit or a process that we see. And I will say being able to analyze data, to turn them around in different ways, and knowing the different tools for data analysis will also help you. Listening, data analysis. And believe me, you'll be able to achieve what you need to achieve in terms of understanding what are the needs and what the data tell us to see whether XYZ program or process will be the right one and moving forward. I'm not saying that these are the only ones, but I think these are the two skills that I see being more and more important today. To your other questions, what would I say to the 18 years old myself? I will tell you. We have more and more opportunities available, and in terms of, for example, the podcast that you're doing, and that's why I like it. I would have hoped to have known this when I was 18 years old and listening to different experts in the field. So I feel there's more and more initiatives that are there that exist, and I would just encourage everyone when you finish school, when you're 18 years old, I have the impression that you have more and more questions and difficult questions about where you want to go. But there's something that you like. Maybe you don't know. Maybe it's not yet evident to you. It's not yet an evidence to you what you want or what you want to do. Get out. If you know that it's health sector, listen to people, experts. Go to different platforms. Or in universities, sometimes there are seminary organized. There are people who will talk about their passion or their work. Just go there and sit and discuss with them. And because it will help you think through your next steps. Secondly, there are many opportunities for internship or different fellowship. I benefited from that. I did a fellowship that helped me work here in Rwanda with an NGO that did the work I felt was what I wanted to do. And you know, when you're fresh from school or just have 1 to 3 2 years of experience, you sometimes don't know how to sell yourself or how to go and knock at the door and say, I'm capable of doing that. Today, there are fellowships that exist for schools, for people who just are out of schools to get to know well the world, the practical world, or how government work. And I will tell you, don't be afraid to apply because they exist. They are there and they are for. And I benefited from it. I will send you the link, Fiona. Be happy
And
to
I can put
post
that
it with the
down.
people. Mine, what I did was called Global Health Corps. They still exist, but there are many others. I will
Oh
say to people,
my goodness.
go ahead, look for them, apply, and
Oh
discover the world.
wow. I think you're the third we've had. Sandra was a GHC. I think Dr. Constancia was a GHC. I think you might be our third GHC fellow. On the show from the beginning. So very wow, okay. So I feel like this okay, so I'll definitely make sure I put this in the episode notes. So if they'd listen, reach out to people in the field where you think you might be interested in. Just listen, learn how to listen, even when you think you know everything. Those are all very important. And then you also talked about analytics. I think that's a very important. I love data and I love all things data. So it's always exciting when people from different sub areas in public health also bring out the importance of quantitative data, qualitative data, all kinds of data, because at the end, it helps us make better decisions and inform our interventions. So yeah, no, that's all very exciting.
Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you so much for taking the time. This has been Utano Public Health Chats with your host, Fiona. And today we were interviewing Mrs. Celine Mujeni from Rwanda.